This year's Executive Leadership Conference is over, and the 2012 conference is already in the planning phase. The feel and the mood of the conference this year were both a little bit different than past years. Former OFPP Administrator Steve Kelman was there. He's writing about what he saw, and he's my guest to talk about it. It was great to see you down there, Steve.
It was really nice to see you, Francis. It's sort of a cast of thousands down there, but you never can run into everybody you'd like to, but it was really nice to see you.
Thank you very much. I was trying to think of who wasn't there who was big in the federal government, either in or associated with. And I just couldn't.
Unfortunately, there was one big name that wasn't there. It was the new federal CIO was not there.
That's true. What's your takeaway from that?
Well, I should probably stay away from that.
All right.
Let me just say, I think it's too bad he wasn't there.
Well, you made some observations in your lectern blog that we have linked up at federalnewsradio.com, and one of them that I wanted to ask you about was the concept that you write about. Government needs to get much better at fast failure. Tell me what that means.
Yeah, so this isn't a phrase that I thought up or that anyone even who used it at the conference thought up. It's out there in the management literature. The idea is that if you're going to try innovations, new ways of doing business, we know from past experience many or most of them don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so one approach is to not try an innovation unless you're sure it's going to work. Well, in that case, you're not going to try enough innovations because there are very few you're sure are going to work that are sort of slam dunks. Another approach is to try a lot of innovations and stay with them till the bitter end. But then you're going to have a lot of failures and a lot of wasted resources and so forth. So the idea of fast failure is to try to get that happy medium in between, which is to say, let's try a lot of things, but let's really track them closely and be ready very quickly before a lot of resources have gone into it to shut down the ones that aren't working and to put more resources into the ones that are. So that's the basic idea. It's a little bit in some ways tied in with the administration's 25-point plan on IT with the idea of agile development. And instead of having these monster systems where the first functionality doesn't come for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Get some functionality very quickly so you can get an idea, is this working, in which case keep going, or is it not working, in which case let's cut it off before we spend $500 million. Now, there's one little caveat to that, which is that probably the smartest living organization research scholar in academia, and I guarantee it's not me, is a guy named Jim March, who's a retired professor at Stanford. And he points out that typically, even innovations that end up being successful start off initially, productivity goes down because of the learning curve. You're getting started. So you do want to be prepared to fail fast, but give it at least a little time to see what you have to get up the learning curve.
Mm-hmm. You made an observation too that I thought well, that's a kind of not a major thing for Steve to observe. And then as I thought about it more, as we got a couple of days away from the conference, I understood, I think, a little bit better what you were getting at in the bigger picture. Well, you know, I like
whatever
to think so. You wrote, PowerPoint presentations are changing. I've noticed a similar change during the past few years in research presentations by grad students applying at the Kennedy School. Talk about why you thought that was impactful enough, the slide decks that people were using down there, for you to want to talk about that.
Well, so obviously PowerPoint is a very important part of our lives. And I resisted it for a long time because I thought it interfered with a speaker and an audience communicating with each other, but I gave in a long time ago. It's a very important part of our lives. And if you look, I think a fascinating evolution is taking place. The earliest PowerPoints were almost like speeches just written in PowerPoint. So these two dense, words, thousands of words on each PowerPoint. Then we moved into where we were for a long time, which were the bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we were for a long time. Where we're going now, and as I mentioned in the blog, I've seen it among 26-year-old graduate students presenting their research at the Kennedy School, but this year I saw it very dramatically at ELC, is a big move towards a lot more visuals, set things off of YouTube, making the presentations visually much, much more appealing. So as a way of increasing the interest in the presentation, I think basically it works very well it has the danger, and you actually saw it a little bit at some of the ELC presentations, of the content disappearing entirely. Again, it's one of the things that you want to have a happy medium where it's not just a bunch of bullet points, which is a little boring, but it's also not just a bunch of YouTube videos, which is fun, but then you're not sure what the point of the presentation is.
Well, you speak in front of groups all the time, so let me get your feedback on this. Is there a fear that if the PowerPoint presentation, if the slide deck has too much going on, that it might actually distract from the presentation that the speaker's making, which is the reason that I showed up, to hear that person say something?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the danger with the too much visuals, that the visuals are so exciting. First of all, there's no presentation of substance on the PowerPoint itself, and I think audiences have gotten used to seeing some substance on the PowerPoint, but also people are so busy laughing at the YouTube video that they're engaged in the visuals, but they're not engaged in the content.
Kind of missing the point. Steve, always great to talk to you, and it was good to see you in Williamsburg.
You have a great weekend. Are you getting snowstorm in D.C.?
We're supposed to. We're supposed to get maybe 3 or 4 inches tomorrow, is what they're saying.
Surprise. Wow, I can't believe it.
Well, I'm always skeptical of this. We'll see what happens.
All right. I wore my winter jacket for the first day to work today up here in Boston. We'll see what happens here.
All right. Good luck to you with that.